Hey you, welcome to Bloom Baby Bloom, a podcast dedicated to holistic living, learning, and healing from an African-centric perspective. I'm your host, Maina Chenzi, a holistic life coach, multi-passionate creative, and your dedicated digital soul sister. Hey you, good morning on this beautiful May day. I hope that you've been well and finding joy in this beautiful spring to summer transition. For me, as you know, this is some of my best and most favorite times of the year, just the transition from spring to summer, and then also I like late summer to fall. Winter and I, we manage, we work things out, but usually those are the seasons I feel the most like me. And I guess it makes sense since I am a spring baby, spring summer baby, depending on where you're from. But as I always say, all the seasons matter and are beautiful and important. You might not have to like all of them, but you can understand the meaning of all of them. And that I do, so that's always good enough for me. So for today's subject, I really wanted to talk about a topic that came up for me actually this past week, and it's about worthiness and the practice of changing your feelings about how worthy you are and what you are deserving of. I was actually having this conversation with my partner the other night about the premium experience versus the discounted experience, right? Now, the premium experience is anything that you know you really want or desire, or even you feel like you deserve. But the discounted experience is whenever we either allow things, settle for things, or even do dirty to our own damn self by opting for the discounted experience. As a recoverer of codependency, this for me is a very important subject, because I feel like when you are codependent, when you are used to regulating yourself through pleasing or managing other people's feelings, or just feeling like you can't have peace without other people having peace, you get quite disconnected from your own center and from what you are worthy of and how to aim or even change that way that you see yourself when it comes to worthiness, because you kind of feel like you're worthy of whatever comes your way, in the sense of it's externalized worthiness rather than internalized worthiness. One big teacher for me on this is my younger sister, the one that was born after me, because we always had a different approach to worthiness. I remember growing up and watching her be at least more, not even, I think, yes, impulsive, but in a way that also brought awe to me, in the sense that if she wanted something, exactly that thing, she did what she could to get exactly that thing. Whereas on my side, I was more the person who was like, I really want that, but I'm not sure. Maybe there's something else, or maybe I can get it somewhere for a different price, or maybe I can go and thrift it. And of course, no shade to thrifting. We be out here. I love a good thrift, and I always will. But it was the idea of why I thought that I knew what I wanted, but then I'll do all these laps around it, excusing myself, justifying myself, and sometimes I would choose not to get it, or sometimes I would get it. But it wasn't a clear thing, you know. It was a thing of mental work and gymnastics before I finally decided to get it or not get it. And I loved watching how she just didn't do too much thinking on that. It was just, ooh, I really love that dress. Ooh, I really love that camera, and I wanted to do better quality. I'm going to get exactly that. And it made me think about other things, because right now we're just talking about objects and buying things, but it's more than that, because it's about knowing that you can get exactly what you want. And I think growing up as a kid and learning to settle as the norm and learning to not have my hopes too high up and learning to be flexible with what I want, I over-internalized it to a certain degree, to the point where I was capping my own desires, you know? And I was putting in place the things that I could get, but which I felt like there were compromise between what I really wanted and what I could settle for, rather than just having my eye on the ball, like that's what I really want. And I was wondering a lot about how that was affecting me on a bigger scale. Also, when we talk about managing and shifting from a scarcity mindset to an abundant mindset. And I think for sure that is rooted in some sort of scarcity mindset, but also in a sense of unworthiness and excusing or validating my need or simply my right to deserve certain things so that I can justify getting them, or I can justify wanting them exactly that way. And it made me reflect on relationships as well and other areas of my life where I feel like I have gotten that managed to a premium setting, right? And I feel like that is also quite important to be aware of, that we grow in certain areas, not all at the same time. And I was thinking about the areas I felt very comfortable getting the premium experience, right? So in the sense of food, I'm really good at that. Like I have set my standard for food at a very good and healthy level, in the sense that even if I'm going out to eat, if I step into a space where I'm like, ooh, this is not getting all of me excited, you know? Like, I need to be in a cute space with plants, with good foods that is plated lovely. I'm not even thinking like Michelin stuff, but I like to go to spaces and eat at spaces where I see the person who owns it or created it, took some pride in creating it, cares about the decor to some certain degree, because you eat with your eyes as well. I care about the kind of produce that I get served, especially if you're eating fresh food, like if you eat a salad or if you eat a fruit, something. I care about the texture of the food as well, because that also shows that whoever's creating it really cares about that quality and is putting just that best premium out there. And I know particularly this one space I always go to for the best salad in Lisbon, and they always have, their avocados are always on freaking point. Like, it's always the best avocados. I don't know if they taste them before, but just, you never get a weird avocado there. It's always guaranteed best avocado. And that salad just in general is the bomb. Like, everything on that plate be living its best life. And I feel good eating food that I can see is good quality. The other thing I do is also where I shop for food. I'm quite picky about the feeling I need to have while I'm buying food as well. And this might be also very Taurus energy, that I am really good at this area because it's food related. I don't know. But anyway, I really connect to this area. So when I go shopping for food, I want to go to the shops that I feel present their produce well and have good quality produce, have a great selection of natural products as well. Now we're talking like everyday supermarkets, and I also like to go to niche supermarkets, you know, like they just sell these things, artisanal things, or going to health stores because they always have a different vibe in health stores. Just being in spaces I feel good being in, because that's what I feel I deserve. And even when I was a student, student pay, I remember, like, still my food criteria and standards were always high. And I think this also goes back to growing up in a house where my mom cared about that. I know growing up in a house also where my mom made bomb-ass food, like she still does, but I grew up on good quality food. So that translated in what I also expect of my food when I, as a grown-up, and where I eat and what I even make for myself and the produce I buy for myself. And that was instilled in me from a young age. And I think in some way that right there is also one of the reasons we have different standards for different things. Because of the things I grew up with in my household that just set the standard from an early age. Like, for example, the space I live in. Like, regardless how much money we had or didn't have, my mom always instilled in us to have beautiful spaces with what we had. Our beds were always well made. We had fresh sheets. It didn't matter the quality. In good times, we had great sheets and quality sheets. Even in bad times with worn out sheets. But they were always well washed, ironed, crisp ironed. My mom loved to iron everything we owned. And our beds always were nicely cleaned. Our house was nice and clean. And even to some detrimental aspect, but that's a whole other subject. But my mom cared about how we lived, and she cared about what we ate, and she cared about the clothes we wore. She might never have been a brand person, which I like about her as well, because that also transferred to us. And I think even perhaps like mostly me as the eldest daughter, because I can see that my younger sisters are more into brands and it increases the younger they are. Whereas my mom cared about quality more than brands. And she sometimes tells us these stories about, like, even though she was a young mom, she always loved shopping for us at the best stores. But it wasn't like necessary just brand wise, but the place she knew had the best quality of clothing. And that also something that I inherited. So even if I'm not very into brands, I do care about buying things of good quality. When I see something of low quality, I don't care if it's cute, whatever. It turns me off. Like, I want good quality things, whether it's secondhand or bought in a store. That is very important to me. And then that also translated in how I view even the products I use. That also is something I inherited from my mom to some degree, that she was always into natural products. The only thing we had that was a mess in our house product was hair products. Like, there was just too much, and it showed the crisis of our hair relationship, because this was before we went natural and we really put in effort to understand our own hair. And I would say that, not to put my mom's business out there totally, but even when I go to her space now, I can see more products. Not a lot, but it reminds me of when I was younger. And I remember growing up thinking, I don't want that many products in my space. Like, I want a few things that do things that are good quality, and that's it. And that's exactly what I have. I'm always looking for good quality products that are multifunctional, and that have great value for what I pay, but also that are holistically good. Like, they're good for me and the environment, and yeah, whatever I'm using them for. So just to say, there are certain areas that I, from an early age, had premium experience, so I continue that and I grow in that and I can add to that. And I would also say that even in friendships, because I had a healthy relationship with my siblings and they were my first friends, and we usually had healthy relationships together, that also translated in what I expected from friendships outside of my siblings. And I always gravitated towards, yeah, good, loyal people who were supportive and who spoke, who had kind ways of interacting with each other, like funny and, yeah, helpful, supportive. Like, all those things mattered because from an early age, that was where my standards of friendships was and platonic relationships. So I carried that out into my older self, right? So I feel like that is quite important, that when we are young and when we are growing up, our environment kind of sets our worthiness or our idea of what is the standard, you know? And if you grow up in a household where there wasn't such a great emphasis on good food or a great emphasis in how you keep your spaces, or even your own personal hygiene or the relationships you have, then that will follow you through your adolescence. That will follow you into adulthood as well. And perhaps you would even pass it on to your children. So questioning those areas in my own self now and reflecting back to my upbringing also helps me to understand, okay, maybe I didn't even have an idea of how to navigate this certain space. And for me, I realized that because we always ate mostly at home, like, my mom is queen of we have food at home, and it wasn't such a big deal because the food, like I said, at home was bomb. And sometimes even when I would eat other places, like other people's places, I'm like, my mom's food is better. But we never really had a culture of going out to restaurants or eating out, right? So that was new territory for my sisters and I. I remember, like, when we would go out to movies and then we would be like, oh, let's go get a kebab after. And that was like a premium experience, you know. We would go to this one area with a kebab and we would get good value for our money, like a big ass kebab. And that would be like a bomb ass day, like just getting that good kebab and eating it while we walk home. And then slowly we navigated into, let's go to a cafe or let's go to a restaurant. Let's order chai lattes. What are those? Like, we slowly developed into allowing more experiences, and not just allowing more experiences into our spaces, but also having a standard for those experiences. Like, we used to eat at this one Chinese spot because it was good value for money. Like, you got a lot for money. But we never felt great afterwards, you know. Like, it was just a bit of a dodgy space, you know. And I remember, like, thinking, we should stop eating here. This is really not good for us. We deserve to eat at a better place. And maybe we might have to pay more, but we would get better quality as well, right? Now, also, please know that not just because you pay more, you get better, but just there is sometimes, often, a correlation. And the saying, you get what you pay for, is not a crazy saying. But yeah, so we decided to go to spaces that were, like, we would look at certain areas and you would just feel this feeling of, like, I can't go in there. I'm not the kind of person who eats at that place, you know? Like, you would be, because it's foreign to you, and you would be the one basically stopping yourself from entering, because it wasn't like a club. It wasn't like you're not allowed in, but you'd feel like, I don't feel like I belong in that space. And so my sisters and I, we started practicing that, especially the sister that comes right after me, who's 2 years younger than me. We would just say, this looks really nice. We feel weird going there. That's why we should go there. And we would go there. We would sit down and we would look at the menu. And even if we felt like, okay, these prices are a bit wild, we would be like, okay, perhaps we could save up and come here and have it, or like for a birthday, like we could make this happen for ourselves. And I'm not even talking about crazy expensive spaces, but just spaces that we were uncomfortable spending money on because we hadn't had that experience of spending money on those particular experiences. or felt like this is the only amount I feel comfortable spending on such an experience, right? But then by making an event out of it, like we would dress up in our best outfits and we would show up to certain either restaurants or cafes. And I'm saying cafes, I'm not sure if that translates well for everybody, but like in Denmark, like it's all about the cafes. Like there's some really, like people really care about cafes and even how they're decorated, because you have to remember this is a northern country. We spend a lot of our year in a bit of cold and not very nice weather to be outside. So indoor decorations and ambiance is quite important. And so in a weird way, like that also set my standards for what I feel is a good space to eat, like cafes or restaurant, because growing up in Denmark, like that standard, like once we felt comfortable getting in, that standard was like raised a bit. And when I'd go to foreign countries, I would carry that with me, be like, oh, I don't like the vibe here. I need nice comfy pillows where I'm sitting. I need lovely candle lights or good lighting if it's dark. Like there's all these things that make a space a beautiful space to be in, like just all your senses are happy to be there. And we learned that by actually exposing ourselves to a better experience, more premium experiences. And once we felt comfortable doing that, like you feel like, okay, this is where I feel comfortable being, and this is what I really enjoy experiencing. And it doesn't even mean like I'm repeating. It's not like you have to go to expensive spaces or spend a lot of money to adjust your feeling of worthiness. But it does make a difference when you challenge your feelings of, oh, that's too much, or I wouldn't go there. Like that's a bit out of my league, so to say. And this kind of thinking also, in a weird way, simply slips through other areas as well, as I was mentioning before. This could be even in the jobs you apply for, that, and this is also specific to gender, like women are more likely to disqualify themselves before they're disqualified by someone else. Like we will look at job descriptions and be like, ooh, they said 3 years, I only have 2.5, so I'm not even going to apply. Or whereas a man will be like, oh, I kind of have most of the other stuff, let me, you know, they just feel like they can give it a go, like they, you know, their idea of what is capable, what I'm deserving of is different, and I don't even think they think about it consciously. Whereas women, we are used to holding ourselves back more. Like, ooh, that's a bit too out of my league, or that position is too threatening. And I say this in a way that I'm also even calling myself out, because it's something I struggled with a lot before. I feel I've gotten better, but I still have some limitations in that area. And for me, like, this really changed a lot 2 years ago when I made this pact with myself that it's no longer my job to reject myself. It's other people's job. My job is to always put myself in the spaces I would like to be. And if somebody decides that, okay, I'm not going to give you this job, or you can't enter this space, that's their job. That's not my job. My job is to put myself where I want to be and open and enter the doors that I feel hold the opportunities I want to have. And if people don't bite, well, that's okay. But I'm not going to do their job for them by rejecting myself before because then who's advocating for me if I'm playing the rejection job as well? And also having, like, the way life works, other people might also say no thank you to you. But if you are the queen of no thank youing yourself, then you're most likely going to even cancel yourself out for opportunities you might have gotten. So I remember when that became very clear for me, it really changed what I put myself into, the jobs I even applied for. It changes the things, opportunities I sign up for, because even if I feel like, oh, I'm not sure, I'm like, oh, that's not your job. Your job is to be like, I like that. I feel like I could do that. Let me do my best to show that I would like to do that and I could do that. And then if they look at that and they're like, oh, you're not a right match, that's okay. But I did my part in advocating for my desires, and I did my part in putting myself in those spaces. And perhaps, like, even you hearing that, there are certain things that come to mind in your own area, because when I was talking about this with my partner, we realized that there's some areas I'm really good at and really feel good about asking for the premium experience, whereas she has certain areas where she is more used to having the discount experience in those areas, but really comfortable asking for the premium experience in other areas. And so just us managing that, from also connecting, like, from a holistic perspective, what we grow up thinking. And then, of course, I'm not going to talk about this without also adding the whole understanding about intersectionality, but also the decolonial perspective on all of this, in the sense that as African people particularly, and also you add on the fact that you're a woman, or you have other social statuses that put you at a disadvantage, then you are more likely to add even more discounts to your experiences by yourself, because you kind of are anticipating the discrimination or being excluded from things. So then you internalize that, and then you do the job that they usually do for you, for yourself, you know. And in a way, it kind of makes sense, because we are also trying to protect ourselves from being hurt or being rejected. So we do that for ourselves before somebody else gets to do that. But the detrimental effect of that is that we end up carrying that practice through so many areas of our lives, and we end up becoming our own stoppers. We are our own limiters of what is possible for us. So it requires even more work from people like us to put ourselves in spaces we feel we're not worthy of being in. Of course, it has to be because you want to be there, not because you're proving something to someone or whatever. But I would really like to eat at that space because I think it's beautiful. Or I think the menu is lovely. Like, that's how I choose. Don't judge me. Like, that's a pretty area. I really like all those little plants you got there. And I like the chairs and the decor. I want to eat in that space. Like, it can be as simple, as silly as that. And if you're out there being like, ooh, but look at the people who go there. Ooh, look at how they dress. I could never. Like, I'm not worthy of going in there. No, that's a good challenge for yourself, to be like, hey, that's what I really want, and I would love to have that experience, and I'm going to allow myself to at least make it to the door, sit on the chair, look at that damn menu. Maybe you don't order anything the first time, but you allow yourself to have that experience of entering that space in which you felt like you are unworthy of stepping into. And then you can do it in other areas as well. You can do it if you have a school you would like to go to, but you feel like, oh, I could never, like, go to a visiting day, you know, visit campus. There's also some schools that allow you to sit through classes. Now I'm talking mostly like higher education. Go and sit at a class. Like, imagine yourself in that space, and imagine yourself like, I could be someone that can be in that space. Because sometimes we do that, like I said, because we didn't grow up with access to those spaces, so we feel weird entering them. But by doing that, you kind of like raise the bar and raise the experiences you are welcoming into your life, because you are creating more abundance of where you can imagine and see yourself. It can also be in the things that we maybe buy to do the hobbies we have. If you find yourself always getting for the cheapest things, of course, I'm always like team living within your budget, but I'm also saying that there is some things that you don't have experience spending money on. So you're most likely going to feel like, if the price is at a certain area, like, oh, that's too high. But of course you feel it's too high because you're not feeling comfortable spending money in that area. And so I even notice it like with my own equipment. And even the whole thing about getting a proper mic, like, I'm also very fond of using what you have, because I always tell to people that you should never feel like you have to get this and that before you can do something, because you can do a lot with what you already have. and that goes to my painting and drawing equipment, but also what I use to make videos. I say this also because sometimes people can get in the trap of the better quality things I have, then the better quality content I can produce. Whereas you can focus on the quality of your content before you transition into advancing that quality of content with quality of equipment. For me, I like it to be in that order, that I focus on knowing what I have well and using it well, so that I know better how enhancing maybe the audio or the visuals would impact my already good quality of content that I feel I'm creating. So it's from, of course, a holistic and grounding experience. It's not like just get the big things because it's what is cool and expensive, but get it because you see the value it could add into either your art, into your experience in life, or into the opportunities it will allow you to have. Basically, all of these things are important. One other thing I did with my sister when we were growing up, there were certain shops we always felt like we couldn't enter. We knew the things that were there were expensive. They were of too high of a value that all we could do was look, but like to enter, oh my goodness. So it was kind of similar with what we did with restaurants and cafes and allowing ourselves to go into cafes. We always felt like, oh, those are... Also, a part of it was growing up. Like, as a kid, you feel like, oh, that's a grown-up space to be. Like, I'm just a kid. I'm just going to go at the kebab shop. But then as you get older, like when we were 19, 20s, 21, like even when we traveled around, we would go to spaces where we felt like this is the kind of life we would like to have. I want to have a life where I can go eat at this pretty Mexican restaurant or whatever it might be for you. And then I also remember even with clothing, like this was basically just to rewire our mind to feel comfortable in those spaces. But it wasn't like I want garments from this area, but we did it as an exercise to feel comfortable entering those kinds of shops. And it was like fancy names, like, you know, like Chanel, your Dior, or your Louis Vuitton, like even spaces where you felt like, okay, I could wear those dresses, but they're way out of my league. But okay, let me go in there actually and try stuff on. Like that felt like such a crime. Like, no, I'm not going to go in there and try stuff on. I don't have the money to even afford any of those things. But welcoming that experience, and nobody stops you at the door of a shop and like, but can you afford anything here before you enter? You're welcome to go and look and try on things. And we would do that just as a practice of feeling comfortable in those spaces and not feeling like I'm not worthy of being in that space. Yes, maybe my bank account doesn't reflect and that's all right, but I'm not going to stop myself from imagining what that could look like, because a lot of the growth and a lot of the changes we make, they come from that imagination of feeling like, oh, I can see that, I can feel that. And if you can't see that because you are so alienated from it, you can't really even work towards that, right? And of course, the idea wasn't that, okay, my dream is to be able to earn enough money to get all these bags or whatever. But my dream is to have financial abundance where I can, of course, go into those stores, even if they're not really my kind of things. I like that I can walk by and be like, oh, if there was something there that I really like and fit with what I value, I could get it, you know? And I wanted to feel comfortable in that feeling. I wanted to feel like that wasn't a strange thing in my belly to imagine that. And so that's what we did when we were younger. We would go into those spaces, or even like just a boutique that has beautiful clothes that you would wear, but they're, like I say, just out of your league financial wise. Go in there and wear them. Like, imagine the outfit, take a picture of it, look at the prices, or even not look at the prices, try the things you love and imagine access to that, right? I feel like that is quite important in reprogramming our minds and our ideas of worth and raising our standards of what is available in our space and in our unique experience as an individual. And basically just saying that there are so many ways that you can practice that for yourself. And I didn't get to touch a lot on the relationship part, but let me just do a little part before the end. I feel like that also goes for relationships. Now, growing up, I didn't have a beautiful model for that. My standards of love were already quite low, romantic love. And that was also reflected in the relationships I gravitated to or the things I accepted in relationships. So I actively had to work on raising my standards and raising what I felt worthy of. I did that by watching a lot of relation-oriented shows. I did that by reading a lot of psychology around love and just really immersing myself and filling the gap of what I didn't understand and what I didn't have enough good tools for. I also did that by building on top of what was already working well. So I knew I was good at friendships and I was like, okay, this is what I know about good friendships. How do I connect that with what I feel are good romantic relationships? Okay, I need a partner that I can feel comfortable saying anything to and they can feel the same about me, like sharing and feeling vulnerable with. I need a partner who we have a good supportive relationship with each other. I need a partner who we speak well with each other, like no name calling, none of that. We don't play that. I need a partner where even the tone of our voice is a certain way. And I want a partner who doesn't give mixed feelings, because in my friendships, like I know, hey, we're friends, we get along, like no mixed feelings. So I use the things that worked well in certain areas and transition them into areas I was struggling a bit with. And you can do that the same way, like with food. Okay, I feel good with my food standards. I always am getting the best quality I can get. And so, okay, where else can I transition that? And for me, like recently it has been even like wellness, what I invest in myself, whether it is like getting more education and signing up for courses or even mentoring, or wellness as in like when I go and get like a massage and understanding that I'm worthy of the good experience and I'm worthy of course, like going to the good spaces. That's already something I've worked well on. Like I always go to the nice spaces. There are spaces now that I just look at them like, no, I don't care how much your massage or how much your food is. Like this space is just not for me, you know, and I'm going to excuse myself from this space. But when I see a space, I really feel aligned and attuned with this is the kind of space that is true to my universe. And that's different from everybody, obviously. Then I will go there and I am capable of offering myself a premium experience. You know, of course, everything within your means and your budget, like care for that. But also don't cheat yourself because of an excuse of a budget, right? And feeling good to know that I did something for myself that offered myself the best experience. And by doing that, I'm welcoming more of that in my reality from a place of groundedness and true alignment with what I'm worth of, what I'm worthy of, right? And what I feel good being in the space of. So that also translates now more into my romantic relationships, that because I have worked on raising my standards and knowing what a premium experience of a relationship would feel like and not settling for less than that and making sure that my boundaries are there to make sure that I allow in and I keep out things that do not sit in alignment with me and in alignment with what are my truest desires and what I know I'm really worthy of, because I also know what I give. I know what kind of partner I am to someone. I am a good partner. I am somewhat of a premium partner, so I expect the same back to me. And in lots of times, especially in relationships, especially as Black women, we will find ourselves giving much more than what we think we're worthy of. And we need to stop that shit. I feel like that's a whole other subject I need to talk about and address, because it's been burning at my core. And a lot of the sessions I've been having have also been around that when I work with clients. So I feel like that's a sign that, okay, I should make something on that subject as well. But basically allowing yourself to feel within yourself, like, what am I giving? What am I bringing to the table? Why do I feel like I don't deserve to get that same thing mirrored back at me, you know? Of course, there is the whole thing of balancing each other. There's certain things you might not be that good at, but your partner is, and then you balance each other. But there should be an equality in the quality of relationship you both desire to have and the effort and work you both are putting in to achieve that quality of relationship, whether it's working on yourself, whether working on your communication style, whether understanding your partner better, both of you making that effort. Because like sometimes it can seem like the person who is either the most healed or the person who's the most codependent, they will make sure that they're doing their shit and then like overcompensate for what the other person isn't really doing. But that's not healthy. That's not it, sis. Like, there is better ways and better quality ways to have relationships than you feeling like you have to do your part, your homework, and your partner's homework in order for y'all to pass the test and pass the class. No, we're both going to put in the work. We're both going to do the studying. We're both going to take notes, and we're both going to do our homework so that we can show up each day as better, improved versions of ourselves that can then increase the quality of relationship we experience with each other. And I feel like even having a healthy relationship with a healthy person is another way that we raise our standards, because we get to experience, oh, this is how being in a safe space feels like. This is how it feels like to be in partnership where we are both carrying the load emotionally and psychologically and financially. Like, this is how it feels to be well balanced with someone I love. And that can then translate in even how we have a relationship with ourselves. So again, allowing ourselves to access better quality experiences, better quality friendships and relationships, better quality ways of making money, right? That's a whole other conversation basically. But I guess I would just like to say that it's always possible. Like, if you sense within yourself the areas you feel a bit, I'm not sure, I don't feel comfortable venturing into that area, like, ask yourself why, and ask yourself how it would look like if you allowed yourself to have the ideal experience, not the experience like created from your limitations or your upbringing or the things you never had access to, but the expectations and standards that exist from your ideal idea of what you could achieve and who you could be. I feel like that opens up a whole new world, right? Anyway, guys, I feel like that kind of sums up the learning of this past few days and also what I really want to take with me in this new chapter of being a 32-year-old grown-ass woman. Also, happy birthday to all my fellow Taurians before and after. I love this season for us. I hope you're thriving wherever you are. But yeah, that's what I'm bringing in my next chapter, is really like focusing on that even more this year. And opening up more opportunities for myself, putting myself in more spaces, reimagining even with my work what is capable with the work I do. And I'm really proud of where I've gotten, because it has been that work, like, of saying, okay, I can hold a course, you know, I can offer that for free. Okay, I can have one-on-ones with people and see who signs up for free. Okay, I can put a price. Okay, I can have like imagining how I can expand my idea of the work I do and the ways I can do it, right? Like, even public speaking and workshops. And I'm constantly being challenged in that area, but I love it because it's allowing me, in the way I do things, which sometimes is slow, but it's what is true to my nature. But each time I get to a certain level, I'm like, okay, now this is a good foundation for me to reach for something else and reach for somewhere further and reimagine something bigger. And I like that. It's encouraging, and I can carry that out in different areas of my life too. And so can you. As always, if you ever need guidance or support in changing or reimagining your life from a more abundant perspective, And doing it also with a decolonial perspective and realizing that especially as African people, we are used to settling for the very least. We are used to taking the small piece of the pie. We are used to going through the back door, not the front door. So there's a lot of things that are also engineered in us through white supremacy and colonial thought. And allowing ourselves to break those chains and those connections really opens up the world for us. And we realize this world is not created for white rich men. It's created for everybody, and you too, sis, deserve to get the very best of this experience. And you should never be the person putting the lock on, putting the cap on, putting the limitation on what you can experience, because best believe there's enough of that in the world. But also, on a positive note, there's enough people willing to put their hand out and pull you into certain spaces, but you can't even reach out and hold that hand if you don't feel like you're worthy of that. But you can practice that in so many ways, in so many small ways in your everyday life, right? So I encourage you to reflect on that, and I encourage you to see the ways in which you do limit yourself. And should you ever need guidance, I'm here. Your homegirl is here, been there, doing that, doing the work, and I would be more than happy to hold space for you through sessions to help you also reimagine that for yourself, so we can all be out here thriving and living our goddamn best life. Like, I feel like that world would be a bomb-ass space to exist in. Anyway, beyond that, I wish you a beautiful, beautiful weekend, and I hope, as always, this has been of benefit, and I will talk to you, obviously, in the next episode. Do take care. Bye. I hope you have enjoyed this episode on Bloom Baby Bloom. If you have any questions or comments or just little highs, please feel free to reach out here or on our website at bloombabybloom.com. Otherwise, as always, I send you love, courage, and light to guide you on your path to your truest and most abundant self. You are so very worthy. See you next time. With love, May.